It's just comedy.
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
With Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, ha-ha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio.
Also, my podcasts are free of ads, so you can enjoy the programs commercial-free. If you would like to donate a few dollars to help me cover the cost of creating these weekly posts, you can donate to my channel. On the bottom of each post, there is a donation link in your preferred podcast player. Anything you donate is extremely helpful and appreciated.
This week we have Vic and Sade. Three episodes from Vic and Sade. They're approximately 10 minutes each, so they're very short and easy to listen to. The first one is Flower Garden Arranger, January 16th, 1939. Then we have Mr. Erickson's House Repairs, March 8th, 1939. And then we finish up with Speaking Acquaintances, April 3rd, 1939.
Well, sir, it's early evening as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find all our friends assembled. Mr. Victor Gook sits in his easy chair, reading the newspaper. Mrs. Victor Gook occupies the corner of the davenport, darning socks. And young Mr. Rush Gook at the library table stares at his open algebra textbook in a listless, lukewarm fashion. But now Sade glances at her husband and remarks,
"Hey, I'm liable to go in business and make $1 million.
You rave, woman.
No, but that's the truth. What would you do if I earned $1 million? Ask to borrow some of it?
Sure. Bluetooth Johnson bought our book downtown this afternoon for a dime that gives 36 different ways to make $1 million.
Did he?
Yeah.
Maybe you better take your algebra upstairs and study, Willie. I want to talk a little bit.
I appreciate you'll jump right down my throat when I announce I'm all through studying.
Oh, all through studying.
See? I told you you'd jump right down my throat.
How could you be all through studying? You no more than got yourself sat down there.
People lose track of the passage of time. It's been at least 45 minutes since we finished the supper dishes.
Yes, and half an hour of that 45 minutes you spent talking over the telephone.
My conversation with Rooster Davis couldn't have ate up more than 8 minutes. 9 minutes at the outside. Why, I'll go so far as to say...
All right. Suit yourself.
No, I suppose there'll be hard feelings.
You'll get a taste of hard feelings when you bring your report card home.
I am confident my report card will be satisfactory in every respect.
No, but what if I did go in business and earn $1 million? Vic?
Huh?
Put your paper down. I want to talk to you.
Okay.
I say no, but what if I did go in business and earn $1 million?
Be a very nice thing.
I bet you'd want to borrow some of it.
Sure. I'd borrow a lot of it. I'd go buy myself a motorcycle and check suit and a diamond stick pin. I tell you what I'd buy. I'd buy a 28-cylinder automobile.
If you're not going to study, Rush, maybe you better do something else.
Don't desire my presence in the conversation, huh?
Boys, it's lucky enough to have the opportunity to get sent to high school and then don't take advantage aren't hardly in a position to throw stones at glass houses.
See, I told you there'd be hard feelings.
Oh, go on upstairs and hit the textbooks a while, George.
I've done my homework, Al. Miss Monroe gave us a very short assignment for tomorrow. A very, very short assignment. Personally, I was astonished at the very, very, very short assignment.
Okay, smart guy, you're the doctor. I haven't got the energy or inclination to argue with you. Tell me how you're going to make this $1 million.
My services is in demand.
It's so?
Uh-huh.
What is the nature of your services? Do you heal the sick, or do you give advice, or do you...
I plan people's flower gardens for them.
Oh.
Ladies come to me and ask me how they ought to decorate their lawn, and I tell them and then charge them lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
No, but here's what I'm talking about. This afternoon, I dropped over across the alley to see Miss Harris, and I had my little map with me.
The diagram you drew?
My different flower beds and borders and things, yes. Well, sir, Miss Harris swallowed her shoes. She thought it was so cute. Mm-hmm. You're clever, Miss Gook, she said. Did you get that all out of your own head? Pretty fancy compliments, eh? And the big thing is, she meant them. Miss Harris ain't on the axle grease and peach butter order. When she says, you want something, Rush?
I want to say something, but I shrink back from saying it because I realize my presence ain't desired in the conversation.
What do you want to say?
You people were discussing compliments.
Well?
I received a compliment this afternoon. Mr. Volk up at school told me to quit walking with a slouch because I got a fine pair of shoulders.
No, she's not on the axle grease and peach butter order. She means what she said. And just more and piled it on. I never seen such an attractive layout, Ms. Gook. Them two beds of yellow roses on opposite sides of the front sidewalk is a regular inspiration, Ms. Gook. How did you ever get your idea for a border of panther's blood clear around the house, Ms. Gook?
Laid it on thicker.
Oh, boy.
I wish Mr. Ruger should call me in his office and praise my work like that. I never seen such magnificent invoices, Gook. Them two accounts you balanced yesterday were a regular inspiration. How did you ever get your glorious idea your salary ought to be doubled?
No, but all joking off to one side, I guess I have got the right to have a few bouquets thrown at me.
Sure.
Because my diagram is cute.
Uh-huh.
And I am going to have pretty flowers this summer.
Uh-huh. What you wiggling around on your chair for, oyster cracker?
I had the remark on the tip of my tongue that the high school is going to have a tulip bed that'll run the length of the whole south side of the building.
Indeed.
Won't that be attractive, Ma?
Very.
Everybody's tough at me.
I'm not tough at you.
You resent my presence in the conversation.
I think the chilliness you feel in the atmosphere, Charlie, is due to the fact that you announced at the supper table that you had a lot of algebra to study. Then after sitting down with your book about 4 minutes, you put it aside, announcing you were all through. Your mother and myself find it difficult to warm up to a guy.
I got an alibi.
Alibi, huh?
Yeah.
When you're a few years older, you'll learn that alibis are dangerous.
I don't mean alibi, I mean excuse.
Some wise man or other said once that excuses were the poison's most responsible.
I don't mean excuses either. I mean reason. Excuse me. I got a reason for making the statement at the supper table. I had a lot
what
of work.
What is it?
Well, when Miss Monroe gave us our assignment for tomorrow, she said study 9 pages of the text. But when I looked at my textbook, I discovered that it's mostly reading material. A big bunch of examples and illustrations, and absolutely no problems to solve. Here, let me show you.
Never mind. I'll take your word.
Will you take my word?
It's not only just tonight, Rush. Happens every evening of the world. You sit down at that library table and just wait for an excuse to get loose. And you always do get loose. Some kid comes along outside and hollers. Rooster wants you to go to the show. You got big business across the street with Heine Call. Ain't that so?
Why,
I bet you haven't studied at home here more than half an hour at a stretch since Christmas vacation.
I appreciate it.
Person don't like to drive. They're kids. Especially kids as big as you are.
Don't look at me for help, Arthur. I see eye to eye with your mother in the matter. Ma Harris figures you're a hot-shot landscape gardener, huh?
Oh, boy.
Maybe you'll get so famous.
She wants me to plant her flowers for her. Sure, and if lots of ladies ask me,
uh-huh.
And I charge them all a fee,
uh-huh.
I'll have a business and maybe earn $1 million. No, but I am going to doctor Miss Harris up an arrangement for her lawn. Thought about it after I got home this afternoon. And it's going to be original. Not like mine with panther's blood and yellow roses, because that would look like I was an expert that only had the one trick. Tell you what I thought I'd recommend for her. She's got that...
Telephone is ringing. Telephone is ringing.
It might possibly be Smelly Clark.
I expect it's Fred and Ruthie. Answer. Feel like 500?
It's all right with me.
Invite him to come here.
It might possibly be Smelly Clark, he threatened to call.
Hello? Yes? Yeah, I believe he is. Just a second.
It's Melly Clark.
Very likely.
Thanks, Doc.
For what?
The receiver.
Not at all. Take it and welcome.
Hello? Oh, how are you, Smelly? Fine. Why, nothing. I've been studying some, but I'm all through now. Is that so? Sir Lieutenant Stanley among what? Among the man-eating sharks? Or what? Or defying the finny fiends of the Caspian Sea? What? Oh, Lady Margaret does that? Just a second, Smelly. You people can go right ahead with your conversation if you wanna. Don't pay any attention to me. Just continue right ahead with your discussion. Excuse the delay, Smelly. Yeah, you can always depend on old Sir Lieutenant Stanley to do that. Excuse me, Smelly. I don't like to cut your telephone conversation short, but I guess I better hang up. Okay, Smelly. Goodbye. Thought I'd better hang up.
Oh, Rush. You don't have to act like a miserable outcast.
I was under the impression...
Me and your father ain't gonna disown you or nothing. You'll do better with your studying after this, won't you?
Sure.
At the state dope oil clutch?
I'm gonna start hitting the textbooks like a house afire.
Mighty glad to hear it.
May I take my place in the conversation now?
Okay.
Well, people, I got 16 remarks bottled up. I might as well make them all in a row and catch up with the conversation. You've been talking about flowers, Mom. Here is my opinion.
Good afternoon. We approach the small house halfway up in the next block, and here, entering the backyard from the alley, we find Mr. Victor Gook and his son, Mr. Rush Gook. The gentlemen are homeward bound from office and from Tapman's vacant lot. Listen.
I was the only one in the class that got the correct answer. What I done was make an equation where I let X equal the number of nails in the keg and Y equal the number of nails in the gunny sack. All right. You do that and you got X plus Y
what
squared.
What about that report? Leave it to that.
What about
the side of the western? It is an X. We don't own any X, do we?
No.
Perhaps some assassins lurking in the kitchen.
Probably belongs to Mr. Gumpas. He often carries tools in his garbage wagon.
Don't look like a very good ex. Or rusty.
I imagine it belongs to Mr. Gumpot. Mom probably asked him to smash open a box of potatoes or something.
I suggest you open the door.
Yeah, I was the only one in the class that worked the problem correct. Of course, I was lucky. I hit on the way to do it by accident.
I suggest you close the door.
I hit on the solution by accident. I remembered another problem we had.
Yeah?
You're
following with him?
I was with him, but I had to leave suddenly for Peoria.
Who's that out on the back porch?
Mr. Erickson.
Was he here this afternoon?
Yes, and when I tell you what he had up his sleeve, you'll sell your grandmother's shoes.
Foghorn, old wristband. How about taking Papa's overcoat in the hall? You jumped him about the repairs he promised on the house, and he had another scheme to crawfish a bit.
What did you hear?
Rip it out.
It's not a bit funny.
It's getting kind of funny. You've probably got that old coot half crazy. You're always on his coattails trying to get him to fix up the house, and he's always trying to shake you loose.
Sit down, and I'll tell you about it.
Johnson's
off all mine. No. Remember a few weeks ago, he wanted you to start working on the house yourself?
Yes.
Well, now he wants all of us. What?
Who took Johnson telephone?
No, goodness, I said no 15 times.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Who, Blue Juice? Yeah, he called.
Did he say
what? Call again later. Now, he wants all of us to pitch in.
Yes?
That's why the axe is out on the back porch. He brought it along so whenever any of us felt like it, we could take a swipe at the banister on our way upstairs.
You're fooling, ain't you?
Not fooling the pigeon. Suppose you want to run upstairs to wash your hands or something. All right. You grab the ash and chop out a chunk of the woodwork.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. That's what old Erickson said. You people can have a regular picnic around here.
I can't believe he'd have the nerve.
Let me tell you what was said.
Okay.
He plumped himself down on one of my kitchen chairs, took off his overshoes, and then stared at me in that oily way of his. I knew something was coming. He says, "Well, Mr. Oak, I expect you're beginning to get impatient about the repairs on the house."
Me too, to the gun, eh?
How do you mean?
Well, at the subject before you did.
Yeah. I says, "Well, Mr. Harrison, I am interested in knowing when you plan to begin." He laughs that greasy, patronizing laugh he's got and says, "Of course, we more or less decided on some time in the spring. It's not spring yet. It soon will be," I says. "And Miss Cook," he says, "I've been turning over an idea in my head. I was wondering how it would be if the crowd of us rolled up our sleeves and made kind of a family party out of it."
Uh-oh.
"A lark," he called it.
"Who do you mean by the crowd of us?"
"He meant you and me and Rush and his daughter and himself."
"Georgia?"
"You know her. That fat woman over on West Mulberry with all the gold teeth."
"You suggest that she come over here and paper the dining room and stuff?"
"Yes. Now, actually, did you ever hear anything to be fact?" "We've got the strangest landlord that ever drew the breath of life."
"He certainly got this thing here."
"He don't want to hire a single carpenter, see? He don't want to spend a single cent if he can get out of it. I just sat there and stared at him. Couldn't get it through my noodle."
"Telephone is ringing. Probably Bluetooth Johnson."
"Answer and see. Evenings, him and his daughter want to come over."
"Hello? Hello, Bluetooth. More or less expected you to attempt to get in touch with me."
"You've seen that daughter of his, haven't you?"
"Yeah, so?"
"You've seen her several times."
"Possibly I might."
"Big woman."
"Uh-huh."
"Got all gold teeth in front of her mouth."
"Well, I'll ask him and see."
"Mr. S.
Mind, can I go to the Bijou tonight?"
"He went to the Bijou Saturday."
"That was way last week."
"Have you got studying to do?"
"No. How about it, man? I've got no money."
"It's whatever your father thinks."
"God?
If your conscience is clear, you see."
"Thanks very much. Bluetooth, everything's great." "Yeah."
"This family pours enough 15 cents in that kitchen show to silk Billy Patterson."
"Okay. In a day reach around 6:30. Excellent. Yeah. All right, Bluetooth. Thanks very much for your courtesy in phoning." "Not at all. Same to you. I return the compliment. You're very kind. That goes double. Forget it. I hope to repay your kindness in the future. You're most obliging. Thanks."
"Oh, for God's sake."
"All right then, Bluetooth. In a few weeks around 6:30. You bet. Thanks again for your courtesy and phoning. All right, Bluetooth. Bye."
"Why, Sandy, listening to that conversation, it ties you and your pal up as a couple of fatheads."
"Yeah.
Tell me more about this family picnic we're going to have tearing up the furniture."
"Well, they want to come over evening. Mr. Erickson says, my daughter loves good times, and the crowd of us can have a regular circus."
"Have a regular circus ripping the stairway at high time."
"Yeah, and papering the dining room. Mr. Erickson brought a knife along with his axe. That's so when any of us happen to be going to the kitchen, we can take a minute to scrape off a few chunks of the old wallpaper."
"Sounds like fun."
"A lot. He says we can make a game of fixing up the house. Run races and so on."
"Oh."
"That. Divide up into teams, don't you know? And everybody has an axe, and they all dash for the stairway and see who can chop out a chunk of woodwork first." "Can't you just see us of an evening tearing around here with axes?"
"Mm-hmm."
"Uh-huh. Police wagon would be here in 5 minutes."
"Kiddo, didn't you call him on any of that craziness?"
"No, I didn't. I just sat there with my mouth hanging open. Thing of it is, I guess he's got me pretty well worn down. I've been after him, after him, after him. Week after week after week, I've been after him. And just when I think I've got him in a corner, he squirms loose and whips out some wild notion like this one this afternoon. Had me so bewildered, I didn't have a thing to say.
I'd enjoy getting a good grip on an axe and taking a swipe at the stairway.
In order to show me what a jolly fellow he is and what dandy times we'd have together, he even cracked a joke.
What did he say?
I was walking from the sink to the gas stove and my shoes squeaked. He says, your shoes squeaked. That means you haven't paid for them.
Not much of a joke.
No, but you should have heard him laugh. Very big and boisterous, you know. Ha, ha, ha. Like, I certainly am one sociable fella. You and your family spend your evenings with me, and you'll really enjoy yourself. Ha, 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 he went. And it was kind of strange, too, because he never laughed. You know how sour he always looked. And like I say, I just sat there and stared at him. Never brought up a single objection. I should have jumped up and hollered, now you look here, Mr. Landlord. You promised you'd fix up this house and you're going to do it. You're going to hire carpenters and paper hangers and get started within the next 2 weeks.
Mm.
But no, I just sat with my mouth open while he went on and on.
Mm.
Was there ever such a landlord in creation before?
I doubt it.
You people take me. I'm in favor of grabbing a good old axe and taking a swipe at the stairs. Why, Jordan?
Telephone is here.
Yes, sir.
Might possibly be Bluetooth Johnson again. Hello? Hello, Bluetooth. I just passed your mark to my parents here. It might possibly be you attempting to get in touch with me by telephone. I see. That suits me fine. Suits me excellent. In at the Greeks around 6:30. You bet. Thanks very much for your courtesy in calling, Bluetooth. Not at all. Same to you. That goes double. Allow me to return the compliment. Forget it. Hey.
Oh, I
got it. Yes, sir, Bluetooth. All right. In at the Greeks at 6:30. Yes, indeed. All right, Bluetooth. Bye.
What do you want this trip?
Just checking up to make sure our arrangements were correct.
You said you'd meet him in at the Greeks around 6:30 when you phoned before, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
And he phoned you again to ask you to meet him in at the Greeks around 6:30.
Yeah, Bluetooth's a very careful individual. When he makes arrangements, they gotta be letter perfect. Nothing sloppy about old Bluetooth.
You'll have to go to the grocery store, Willie.
Okay.
Rick, haven't we got a daisy of a landlord, though?
Mm.
Haven't we got a daisy of a landlord, though?
Well, sir, it's early evening as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. Victor Gook and young Mr. Rush Gook. This latter individual is established at the library table where he vigorously plies pencil to paper. Vic, athwart the Davenport in an attitude of ease, scans the newspaper. He puts it aside now, regards his son a moment, and remarks,
"You're most industrious this evening, Smokescreen."
"Yeah.
What's the nature of your occupation?"
"Making a list of the individuals with whom I enjoy a speaking acquaintance."
"Hey, hey."
"Mr. Scott made a list of the individuals with whom he enjoys a speaking acquaintance. And by George, you'd be startled at the number."
"What was it?"
"Guess one."
"By speaking acquaintances, you refer to people..."
"People you say hello to. Mailman, guy that comes to look at the gas meter, conductor on the West Market Street streetcar, you know."
"I suppose you include your friends."
"Yeah, and also relatives. Anybody on earth you say hello to when you meet them on the street is a speaking acquaintance."
"Hmm.
Guess how many individuals with whom Nicer Scott enjoys a speaking acquaintance?"
"Well, let's see. 200?"
"No."
"300?"
"Ridiculous."
"How many?"
655,921.
"Get out."
"He's got their names wrote down in black and white."
"There's not that many people in Peoria, Rockford, Moline, Springfield, Decatur,
hey,
then."
"You want your shoes to hop off and hit the ceiling?"
"Huh?"
"You want your undershirt to explode in a million pieces?"
"No."
"I found out something this afternoon that'll make your Sunday hat turn green. Sonny, hadn't you better take your algebra upstairs? There's going to be talking going on."
"I finished my algebra."
"Finished it?"
"Miss Monroe gave us a very brief assignment for tomorrow. Very, very brief assignment."
"What are you doing there? Studying some of your other lessons?"
"I'm making a list of the individuals with whom I enjoy a speaking acquaintance."
You're going to enjoy a speaking acquaintance with something you won't like if that report card don't show better marks next time.
I've changed my mind, kiddo. I want my shoes to hit the ceiling and my hat to turn green and my undershirt exploded.
Rosie Stembottom is not acquainted with Miss Harris.
No?
No. They've never been introduced.
They enjoy a speaking acquaintance, don't they?
No, they've never even so much as nodded at each other.
By George, ma'am, you've brought up a topic which fits right in with the conversation. Gavier and myself were speaking about individuals.
You could have run over my big toe with a coal wagon. I was so astonished. Here's how I found out about it. Ruthie and I were downtown today and talking along about this and that on the way home. She says, "Say, how's Miss Harris's coal?" I says, "Golly, I meant to run over and inquire, and it slipped my mind altogether." Ruthie says, "I happened to think about her having such a bad cold when I was polishing furniture this morning, and it kind of halfway worried me with so many sick with flu. She's such a jolly, active woman, I hate to see her not feeling good." Mm-hmm. Understand now, it was Ruthie made that speech.
Mm-hmm.
I says, "Well, if it bothered you, why didn't you telephone?" She says, "How could I? I'm not acquainted with Miss Harris." Darndest thing you ever heard of? Darndest thing you ever heard of? I says, "What do you mean you're not acquainted with Miss Harris, Ruthie?" She says, "Why, I mean just that. We've never been introduced." Darndest thing you ever heard of? You could have chopped off my nose with a pound of butter.
By George, these pile up.
Your list of speaking acquaintances?
Yeah. Look here. 2 pages, chock full of names.
How many did you say were on Neisser's list?
655,921.
Neisser Scott knows that many people?
He knows them well enough to say hello to.
Oh.
He's got it all wrote down in black and white.
Rush, old buggy whip. Think a minute. The figure you just quoted so glibly is more than 20 times larger than the figure representing the population of this whole city.
The individuals with whom Neisser enjoys a speaking acquaintance ain't restricted to just this city.
Does he know everybody in Minneapolis and St. Paul? I believe their combined populations amount to about 600,000.
By George, he's got an uncle in St. Paul.
With whom he enjoys a speaking acquaintance, I presume?
Sure. And he's got relatives in Mena, Arkansas, Cleveland, Ohio, Somerset, Kentucky, and Sheridan, Indiana. No joking, they really count up. Well, just look at how many I've gotten. Only been writing down names about 15 minutes.
Ain't that the darndest thing, though?
About Ruthie and my hair? Yes.
Oh, you could have took a dish mop and elected me king of Peoria. How long have we lived in this house? 7 years?
Close to days.
Lived in this house 8 years, and I met Miss Harris the very first day and seen her every day since. I met Ruthie as soon as I moved here from Dixon, too. Makes 8 years I've known her. And she's been here millions and millions and millions of times. And Miss Harris has been here millions and millions of times. And they've never met each other.
Okay, Gov.
Okay, what?
I've completed the first 100 names of individuals with whom I enjoy a speaking acquaintance.
You're going to be angry with me, Rush, but I might as well say it and not be an old hypocrite. I don't care about your first 100 speaking acquaintances.
Listen, Mr. Victor Gook, Mrs. Victor Gook, Mr. Fletcher Rush, Mr. Rush Gook, Mr. Smelly Clark.
You enjoy a speaking acquaintance with yourself?
I might as well include myself. As far as that goes, there's no reason why I couldn't be a speaking acquaintance of myself. Oh, there, Rush. Call yourself. How you feeling? Feeling great. How you feeling? Never better. Bye, George.
What on earth is this now?
A man talking to himself.
You'd have thought they'd bumped into each other places.
Ruthie and my hairs? Yeah, you would.
The more I think of it, the more you could put my leg in the tea kettle.
Why didn't somebody introduce him at your Thimble Club?
Miss Harris is not a member of the Thimble Club.
Church?
Miss Harris goes to Park Inn. He's there on Allen Street.
Bye, George. I just thought of a whole slew of speaking acquaintances. The kids I went through the different grades with at Edward School. Let's see, Paul Kiefer, Robert Murray, Everett Baldwin, Forrest Hillman, Ralph Pratt, Joe Rosenberg, Harry Steffen, Laura Getsky, Geraldine Bass.
That goes dull.
Huh?
Your recital is slightly wearisome.
I'll say.
No, but ain't it surprising how many speaking acquaintances an individual enjoys?
Yeah.
By George, I bet if I keep on thinking them up, pretty soon I'll have as long a list as Nicer's.
Hmm.
What if you walked down the street and bumped into all your speaking acquaintances at once?
Yeah.
Hello, Paul. Hello, Robert. Hello, Everett. Hello, Forrest. Hello, Ralph. Hello, Joe. Hello, Harry. Hello, Laura. Hello, Geraldine. Hello, Wilmore. Hello, Fred. Hello, Margaret.
Oh,
hello.
Rush, for mercy's sake.
I'm demonstrating what happened if you walked down the street.
Well, give us a rest. Mm. I tell you the thing about it that gets me.
Oh, about my Harris and Ruthie? Which,
All these years, they've talked like they knew each other. Ruthie will say, did Miss Harris receive that letter from her sister explaining about Arthur Scott? Miss Harris has said 40,000 times, what did Ruthie wear at such and such a place? Her little blue or the tan frock with insertion? Just from listening to me, they understand everything about each other. Clothes and relatives and little sicknesses and everything. But never met.
Thought of another host Lewis speaking acquaintances. The guys I've had in my Sunday school classes through the years. Let's see. Fred Ray, Merlin Beeson, Russell Herman, Ed Bennett, Sam Bavister, William Cleveland, Charles Matzes, John Boyland, Clement Costigan, Jack Sweeney, Albertson. By George, if I go on at this rate, I'll beat Nicer's list.
I asked Ruthie. I said, surely, Ruthie, you bump into each other lots of times. Downtown, grocery store, in at Yamilton's and around. She says, yes, we have, many times. I said, well, for goodness sakes, why didn't you speak? She says, well, I thought of it, but something always kind of held me back. Guess I was afraid I'd make myself look pushy. And I'll just bet you $9 that's the way Miss Harris felt. Afraid if she spoke, Ruthie might get the notion she was pushy. Darnest thing you ever heard, huh? Why, gracious sakes, a lot.
7698,
please. What's all this now?
Getting in touch. Correct. Thank you, Scott.
Why, gracious sakes alive, if it had been me, I'd have waltzed up to Miss Harris and says, Miss Harris, I'm Ruthie Stambott. I mean, you know I'm
Ruthie
Stambott.
Oh, there,
Stambott.
Oh, my. Oh, just sitting around. Yeah. Say, I'm making a list of speaking acquaintances. I haven't counted them, but there's plenty. Pretty soon I expect to have you be. Oh, is that so? How many added on? What's your grand total? Go on. I guess this is enough of this conversation. Go on.
How many?
Huh?
How many speaking acquaintances is Nicer got?
2,108,697,483.
Ain't that the darndest thing, Bill?
About Ruthie and my Harris?
Ain't that the darndest thing?
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, and as always, peace.